Well, tonight, I came on assignment tonight. I came to tell you one thing, and I'm certain, absolutely certain, the Lord has sent me here tonight to tell you one specific thing. And that is this: God is good. I'm going to say that again. That is my assignment tonight. God is good. I said, God is good. Say this with me. God is good to me. All the time. Now say it again. God is good to me all the time. Come on, now tell him, God, you're good to me all the time. Is anybody glad about that tonight? I said, we serve an awesome God, and he's a good God. Glory to God. He's a good God. You know, saying that phrase, you know, our own pastor, Pastor Hagin, loves to say that. God is good. He loves it when the audience crescendos all the time. When pastor says God is good, if we don't say all the time, he'll stop and wait and say, you're supposed to say all the time. And, so often, and so that's popular in the church today, and even in Pentecostalism, that phrase, God is good all the time, is very popular. Black Pentecostal church, same thing, very popular over in Africa. That phrase became very, very popular before it was popular here in America. It was popular in Africa. Somebody would say, God is good, and then they'd say, all the time. But to really get the origin, you got to go to the book of Genesis. God created everything and said, it's good. He revealed himself as a good God from the beginning. But humanly speaking, back in 1947, Brother Oral Roberts, he was reading in the book of 3 John and had a revelation when he got to verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul, what? Prospers. And Dr. Oral Roberts said he read that, and when he read it, he had a revelation from God. And the revelation was this, that God is always a good God. And so he began to say in 1947, God is a good God. The devil is a bad devil. Evil comes from the devil. And he was really excoriated for that. When he began to say that God is a good God, man, denominational people theologically people debated with him that for him to even say that God was a good God. He took a lot of flack for saying God's a good God, that there's only goodness in God. Now, today, we've been New Testament taught. I said, amen. I said, if we have any spiritual sense at all, we've come up from that. We already know that God's a good God. Amen. But 1947 is when Dr. Oral Roberts started saying that. And then, of course, we know that 48 revival, that healing revival broke out. Praise God. And one of the ways God demonstrated his goodness was through his healing power. I said, amen. I said, God is now, he has always been, and he will always be a good God. And I want to share some scripture tonight and begin at 1 Peter 2:9. Now I'm going to read from the New Living most of these. I have a couple of King James. I'm just kidding. King James scriptures. I have a couple of those. But most of these are in New Living tonight. This is 1 Peter 2:9. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priest, a holy nation. He said you are God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of what? Darkness into his wonderful light. The scripture says here that you and I can actually tell others about the goodness of God because he called you out of darkness, because he called me out of darkness. And I don't know about you. I know about Brother Bill tonight, but I don't know about you, but it feels so good to be out of darkness. I'm so glad for the day that the Lord took Satan's hand off of me and said, take your hand off of my child. And he bought me then out of darkness and bought me into his marvelous light. I don't know if anybody else is glad about that, but you ought to be happy about that tonight. If you are sitting in his marvelous light, it's because you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. He bought us out of darkness, and that's, you know why he did it? The Bible says right here, because of his goodness. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. Show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Yeah, he brought you out of darkness because he's good. You dwelling in the light today because God is good. You ought to wake up every day and say, I'm alive, I'm in Christ, God is good. There are so many people groping around in the darkness. But God bought you out and bought you into the light. And we ought to be grateful. He did that because he's good. Scripture says his goodness. Yeah, 1 Peter 2:9. But go back with me to the book of Hosea, talking about the goodness of God. Go back with me to the book of Hosea. And, go to the book of Daniel. If you can find the book of Daniel, then turn to the left. Turn one page after the end of Daniel, you'll come to the book of Hosea. We're going to chapter 3, talking about the goodness of God. I said, God is good. You said what? All the time. And all the time, you said? God is good. Yeah, I got the right crowd. In Hosea, it's right after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5. We learned something else about the goodness of God. Hosea 3, verse 5. But afterwards, the people will return and devote themselves to the Lord their God and to David's descendant, their king. In the last days, they will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his what? Of his goodness. I'm going to read that again. In the last days, they will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his goodness. Yeah. God has been so good to you. He's been so good to me that we ought to tremble in holy reverence. We ought to tremble in awe at the goodness of God, that God has been so good. And God said one of the signs of the last days is that his people would tremble in awe of his goodness. I like that. Tremble in awe of his goodness. And so, God has, when this is written, of course, Hosea 3, when you read the context, anybody read the context of the book of Hosea? Hosea's wife left him. She was unfaithful. And she was running around as a prostitute committing adultery. And God tells the prophet Hosea, I want you to go and get your wife, pay the money to get her back. Think about this now. She was a prostitute and she was committing adultery. When God tells the prophet, go get her and bring her back. Welcome her home. And he said, because this is going to be a sign. He told Hosea, this is going to be a sign. Because my people have committed adultery against me. He said, my people have been unfaithful to me. And yet every time they call me, I take them back. Every time they call me, I welcome them home. Every time they say, Father, forgive me, I receive them unto myself. Every time they say, Father, I repent. Micah 7:19 says, I cast their sins into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. And he said, go get your wife. It doesn't matter what she's done. I want you to forgive her. I want you to receive her home. And the way that I forgive and the way that I welcome and I receive my people home. And even when you and I have not been faithful to God in some area, God is always faithful because he is good. I said, he's a good God. And the moment we say, Lord, forgive me, his goodness takes over. His mercy fills our hearts. I wish I had an amen here. I said, he's a good God. And he demonstrates his goodness as he, even when we have made mistakes and we've had failures or whatever, God welcomes us home. He forgets the past. He wipes the slate completely clean. All because he's a good God. But that's not all. Then if we go over into the New Testament and go over to the book of Acts and go over to Acts chapter 27, and over there in Acts 27, I'm going to start reading from about verse 20 as soon as I can turn there. I'm going to start reading from verse 20. Because no doubt you know this story, that Paul is in the middle of a terrible storm. Here in Acts 27, he's a prisoner headed to Rome for trial. He had appealed his case to Caesar. And as a Roman citizen, he was given the right to have his case heard by Caesar's tribunal. And so they put him on a ship as a prisoner. And the scripture here in Acts 27 gives us to know there are 276 souls on board this ship. In addition to, the ship is loaded with cargo. It's loaded with freight, loaded with cargo, and then 276 souls. And Paul gets on board chained. And down in his spirit, he senses from the Lord, this is not going to go well. There's going to be a terrible accident. And so he declares, 27 earlier in the chapter, verse 10, he says, I perceive that there's going to be trouble. There's going to be an accident. We're going to suffer the loss of the ship, the loss of the tackle, the loss of the cargo, and the loss of our lives. We should not sail. We ought to stay in Crete. Don't sail. And the Bible says in that story that the owner of the ship and the captain of the ship, they took a poll and they decided through the poll that they were going to sail on. And they had calm winds blowing. And they took a majority vote. And you know, you can get in trouble taking a majority vote. We better listen on the inside to what the Holy Ghost says. I said, the Holy Ghost can show you more on your knees than you can see through a telescope. I said, I wish I had an amen. And they decided to go with the majority. And so they sailed on. And the Bible says a Euroquillo, gale force winds immediately came up and blew the ship 200 miles off course. And so it got so bad, they didn't eat any food or drink anything for 14 days. Now, you know you in a bad storm. You in a bad storm if you don't drink or eat for 14 days. If I didn't drink or eat for 14 days, I say, I must be in heaven somewhere. Lord, the rapture must have come. I must be in heaven. I'm telling you, that's a bad storm. We're going to pick this story up in verse 20. We're in Acts 27, verse 20. God is good? And all the time? I got the right crowd still. In verse 20, the scripture says, the terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time, and finally Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete, and you would have avoided all this damage and loss. I just love that. verse 22, but take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. And what's more, God in his goodness, listen now, God in his goodness, are you listening? God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, it'll be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island. The scripture says here that God in his goodness has granted safety to everybody sailing with you. And I tell you, it would have been a blessing to sail with Brother Paul, because all 275 other souls were saved because that man was on board. And I tell you, God is a mighty protector. And Paul said it right. He said, the reason that we're going to make it through the storm is not because somebody has a rabbit's foot. He said, the reason that we're going to make it through the storm is not because somebody has crossed their fingers. He said, the reason that we're going to make it through the storm is not because somebody's calling out to the Buddha or Hare Krishna or some false god. He said, the reason that we're going to make it through the storm is that God in his goodness has granted us safety. Paul said it's the goodness of God that has protected us. He was saying God's goodness is our protection. And how many of you know that God, in his goodness, he is a divine protector? Won't he do it? I said, the Lord is a protector. I said, said he will protect you. He'll protect you in the automobile. He'll protect you at the mall. He'll protect you when you're in trouble. He'll protect you on the job. God is a protector. He will put a Holy Ghost fence around you to protect you. He'll set angels in front of you to protect you. He'll put a fence around you to protect you. He'll put a hedge around you to protect you. I said he is a protector. He is a divine protector. God is our protection. Why? Because he's good. I said he's a mighty good God. And in his goodness, he protects us. Somebody ought to thank him for it. And so I want to say just three things from this point briefly to you, because so often people go through storms, they go through adversity, and they feel like when trouble happens, God, where are you? God, don't you love me? God, don't you care? Before we leave this story, go with me to Acts 28, the very next chapter. Because everything that Paul said happened. The ship crashed, but all 276 of them were able to swim to shore, and they found themselves miraculously at the island of Malta. We have some beautiful Rhema people on the island of Malta. Brother Gordon and Mariella. Man, just beautiful Rhema grads there on the island of Malta today. But here, Acts 28, verse 1. Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. And it was cold and rainy. So they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. And as Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. And the people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to one another, "A murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live." But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. And you know what happens after that? A revival breaks out on the island of Malta. Why? Because God is a good God. Now, I wanted us to read that second part of the story. I felt led of the Lord read that second part of the story, because here's why. Because we could see God brought him miraculously through the storm, all 276 souls. And by Paul's own testimony, he said it was the goodness of God that did that. They came through the storm by the goodness of God. I said, you came out of darkness by the goodness of God. I said, he's protected you every day of your life by the goodness of God. And Paul said, all 276 of us, we made it because of the goodness of God. And then right after that, they're cold, they're wet, they've been in a shipwreck. And they all had to be gathering sticks. The Maltese, and they're welcome, they're trying to build a fire to get everybody warm and dry. So Paul couldn't have been the only one gathering sticks. They were all probably gathering sticks. But let me ask you this. How come in his pile, there's a poisonous snake? You ever thought about that? How come in Paul's pile, there got to be a poisonous snake? You done come through a raging storm. It was miraculous that you were even saved. And then you're going to go and get a pile of wood and a poison. And they knew what kind of snake it was. You couldn't fool the Maltese now. They knew what kind of snake it was. They waited for him to swell up and die. How come in Paul's pile? How come in Paul's wood stick, there's a snake? How come there got to be a snake in his stack of wood? How come he got snake bit? And you know, we got a whole lot of people today been snake bit. Circumstances, scenarios, situations, thing didn't go the way you planned, thing didn't go the way you thought, you've been snake bit. And when people get snake bit, oftentimes they lose sight, they lose track of the goodness of God. When things happen that are beyond someone's expectation, beyond someone's control, they didn't expect that, they didn't know that was going to happen. God, how come I didn't know about that? They feel snake bit, and oftentimes people back up on the goodness of God. And they don't say it, but they act like, are you really good? If you're really good, how come grandma died? If you're really good, why? How come they laid me off on the job? God, if you're really good, how come I'm broke right now? If you're really good, why am I experiencing challenges in my body? People say, God, if you're really good, how come that happened in my family? I've been snake bit. And a lot of people, when they get snake bit, they just start complaining. They lose sight of the goodness of God, and they just start dragging the snake around. I've been snake bit. That's not what Paul did. He had just come through a miraculous situation on the stormy seas. He had just declared, God is a good God. It doesn't matter who you are. God has been good to you. He had just been declaring that. And when the snake bit him, the Maltese said, whoa, you a bad man. Woo! They said, you come through a storm like that? A miracle happened to bring you through a storm like that? And then a snake bites you? You know what they were really saying? Karma caught up with him. It was karma. Karma did it. No, it was the devil that did it. It was the devil. What are you saying, Brother Bill? We live in a fallen world. And my friend, there are things that happen sometimes in all of our lives that it's hard to account for. We go through things. Sometimes we suffer loss and pain, and there are times when things don't always turn out the way we planned. But through it all, God is faithful. Through it all, God is good. And there is as Brother Earl said back in 1947, there is a good God and there is a bad devil. And the scripture tells us in Corinthians that Satan is the small g god of this world. And he has orchestrated the pain and the strife and the trouble. And whether directly or indirectly, he's the source of it. Directly or indirectly. And so we live in a fallen world where oftentimes, listen to me now, oftentimes bad things happen to very, very good people. But during those times, we must cling to the anchor of our faith. During those times, we must not lose sight of the goodness of God. During those times, when something didn't turn out the way you thought it should, the Lord sent me. Let me go just a slightly different direction while we have this time and give you these three things real quick that I believe the Lord wants me to share with you. When you are going through a time and it seems like God has not been good. It seems that God has not been faithful. It seems like God is not there. Remind yourself that he is faithful, that he is good, and that he is there, no matter what you feel like. And I want to say these three very important things to you, because the first thing that you're going to have to do, you're going to have to sing in the middle of your storm. Meditating on these scriptures, this point came to me to share with you. Sing, we have to sing in the middle of the storm. Psalm 32 with me. Go with Psalm 32. Round about verse 7 of Psalm 32. Sing in the middle of the storm. I said sing in the middle of the storm. Look at Psalm 32, verse 7. It says, for you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of defeat. Oh, my bad. Let me read it again. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. The scripture says, you surround me with songs of victory. Yeah. Why? Because we have to sing in the middle of your storm. Sing in the middle of your storm. Over in Psalm 69, if you will. Psalm 69 and verse 30, if you will. What point are you making, preacher? Sing. Sing in the middle of your storm. If you're gonna keep sight of the goodness of God when things go wrong, you're gonna have to sing. Sing in the middle of your storm. And Psalm 69 and verse 30 says, then I will praise God's name with singing. And I will honor him with thanksgiving. I love that. The psalmist said, I'm going to praise his name with singing, and I'm going to honor him with thanksgiving. The scripture commands you and I to sing Isaiah 61, verse 3. And Brother Josh and Andrew and all the guys handling the scriptures tonight. Brother Josh took my scriptures earlier today and appreciate him as well. Brother Josh up there. Psalm 61, verse 3. In King James, my dear brother, if you could give me this one. Isaiah 61, verse 3. Isaiah 61, verse 3. If you could switch that to King James for me, and then let me read it from there. Because the scripture says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness in the King James. It says, put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And sometimes when you're going through a heavy time, you have to put on a garment of praise. You have to make yourself to worship him. Over in Colossians 3:16, it says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And Colossians 3:16, thank you, brother. Colossians 3:16, it says singing, making melody, songs, spiritual songs. And certainly, you know, those spiritual songs are given by the Holy Spirit. And spiritual songs are given at the impulse of the Spirit. And you can take a song you know with words you know, and when you yield to the Spirit, he might change some of the words just for you in there that you sing them. When you sing, you release your faith. The power of the song on our lips is that we release our faith when we sing. And faith activates the power of God. I wish I had an amen in here. The reason the devil don't want you to sing is because when you sing, you'll release your faith. If you release your faith, faith will activate the power of God. And so the enemy don't want you and I to sing. So he tried to say, what you singing for? Look what you're going through. I wouldn't sing if I was you. But you need to make yourself sing. Over in Acts 16, I won't turn there just for the sake of time. You know the scripture, Acts 16:25. Paul and Silas were in prison after having been beaten and having their feet, hands and feet, put in the stocks. And right there, Acts 16:25 says, at midnight, they began singing praises to God. Think about that. They were snake bit, beaten in prison for preaching the gospel. Snake bit. That didn't turn out the way they thought. But right in the middle of it, they started singing praises to God. You know what happens next? A mighty earthquake hits that place. Because faith activates the power. And singing releases your faith. So sing right in the middle of your storm. Laugh. Secondly, laugh in the middle of your trouble. I said laugh in the middle of your trouble. Over in Proverbs 17, if you will, Proverbs 17, the scripture says there that a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. It's so important to laugh. And when you experience trouble, you have to get yourself in a position and around people that will help you to laugh. I can't get no amen here. Thank you, Brother Billy. You need to laugh. You need to make yourself laugh. Put yourself in situations on purpose where you laugh. I remember when I walked through the sad days of divorce. And the Lord reminded me, your spirit, soul, and body. Make sure you receive ministry in all three. Laugh. I mean, I kept myself around people who love to laugh. Laugh. Man, I laugh. I laugh. Man, I go out with my golfing buddies. And man, we just start laughing. Hit my shot in the water, they treated me no different. They laughed. That's a Pro V1 you hit in the water? We just laugh. We have a good time. We laugh. Sometimes I calculated I laughed almost 4 hours. We played 4.5 hours. Came home laughing. On the television, I put on things that would make me laugh. Good wholesome laughter, stuff that makes you laugh. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. You have to make yourself laugh. Oh man, I laughed. I went out with friends and hung around people who like to laugh because there's health and healing in laughter. I said, amen. It's good to laugh. It's good to laugh. Go to Psalm 126. Whoa, where did our time go? Man, run to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. You got to laugh. You got to make yourself laugh. You got to make yourself laugh. Stop hanging out with people who are frowning around you and they all frowning. Make yourself laugh. Psalm 126 verse 1 says, when the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. You need to be around people. And let me tell you this. And then when you laugh, listen, sometimes laugh in the natural, laugh in the natural, laugh in the natural, but then make yourself laugh in the spirit. Sometimes you just have to say, ha, ha, ha. Sometimes you just have to say, ha, 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 anyway. It didn't turn out the way you thought, but ha, 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 anyway. It didn't turn out the way you expected, but ha, 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 anyway. Sometimes you have to say, devil, listen to me good. Ha, 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 ha. Now put that in your pipe and smoke it. You gotta laugh. And if you'll start out in the natural, you'll end up in the, listen to me now, you'll end up in the spirit. Make yourself do that. Sing in the middle of your storm. Laugh in the middle of your trouble. You have to do that. And then speak in the middle of your pain. Speak in the middle of your pain. In Mark chapter 5, verse 28, there's the story of the woman with the issue of the blood. In the King James, it said she said to herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, she was thinking and saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 reminds you and I to hold on to our confession, hold on to our confession of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says the spirit of faith, operates through believing and speaking. Through believing and speaking. Mark 11, 22 through 24. You said you're going fast. We just got a minute. Mark 11, 22 through 24. Talks about how we have to speak and confess the word. It says three times we have to speak or say something. One time believing, three times speaking. Speak in the middle of your pain. The woman with the issue of blood suffered for 12 years. But she wasn't speaking complaints. What most people do, they speak their complaints. They speak their fears. They speak their failures. She was speaking her faith. If I just touch the hem of his garment, she was thinking that she was, if I just get that garment, when I touch that garment, I'm gonna be. If I can get that touch his garment, to be made whole. Speak God's word in the middle of your pain. In Jeremiah 32, verse 17 and verse 27, Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God, you've created the heavens and the earth by your great power," and he says this: "Nothing is too difficult for you." In Jeremiah 32, 27, that was 17 where Jeremiah says nothing's too difficult for you. But down at 32, 27, God says, Jeremiah, nothing is too difficult for me. What was he doing? Jeremiah was saying the same thing that Father God was saying. And when you speak what God has said about your situation in the middle of your pain, God will deliver you again and again and again. We can go to so many other scriptures, but you got it by now. You can go to Psalm 100, verse 5, talking about the goodness of God. But I just came to remind you tonight, God is good, and all the time. You got it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We bless you and honor you tonight for your goodness. You've been so good. We thank you for helping us to see and keep track and stay on course of your goodness, no matter what happens in our lives. We'll continue to give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, if you need something from the Lord, come on forward. Why are you coming forward? Because there's anointed brothers and sisters that are coming to pray with you, agree with you. You want to be saved. Come on forward. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on forward. You want someone just to agree with you about a prayer concern that you have. Come on forward. Guys come to the guys. Ladies come to the ladies. Let's continue to pray for the Hagans as they're out ministering all over the world. Don't you love our pastors? Let's let's pray until we see him safely right back here in this pulpit. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Remember that God is good to you. God loves you so much. He'll see you through every situation. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye now.